Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, witches. Guess the fuck what? You guys don't guess. It's for me to, you know, it's like implied. We have on the show again today, Emma O'Brien. You might remember her.
Hi, I know I'm a like fan fave. You don't have to tell me.
She's a fan fave. She's been on the podcast before for the Bratz episode.
Oh my God, that was so much chaos.
That was a good episode. We missed you, Liz.
Yeah. I know. This is the first time I get to record with Emma. I'm so excited. Because I missed a cool episode.
You did miss a cool episode. She's great conversation. She's also the host of her own podcast called Tens on Tens.
Oh, yeah. Sister Pod. Hey.
Sister Pod. Dude, we should have a pod network.
Oh, I am down for that.
Pod work.
Yeah, slay. Yeah, slay. Wait, but what Bratz doll is Liz, though? Because we picked ours, but we need...
Dana.
Dana. Oh yeah, that's so true.
I think she's Dana because Dana had those pretty blue violet eyes and the brown hair. I loved Dana, the snow, like the you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the snow, like fucking sport queen.
Yeah,
wait, I'm gonna Google her while we're chatting because I am not familiar with the Bratz.
I mean, we're not gonna talk about her Bratz
mom
again
or not her mom.
Oh, wait. that's right
we yeah just
I was not allowed to have Bratz dolls growing up, so I don't know any of their names. I know nothing.
As they're prostitution horses.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? I feel like because I have ended up on Bratz TikTok before, even though I know nothing about them, and I have seen this one and like people recreating her outfit.
Dude,
yeah, wait, have you seen the Bratz AI?
Yes,
those are so funny.
Oh my God,
that's like I didn't recognize the potential of AI till that shit. Also, there was an AI where someone was talking about Edward Cullen saying nasty shit, and I was like, listen, I am here for it.
When
now.
You posted it on Twitter, I may or may not have watched it
a few times. I was like, damn, oh my God, for my podcast, we just did like a promo video where we talk about every time I say Robert Pattinson on the show, and it's like 25 times.
It was good.
Yeah, I know. I'm obsessed, and it's fine, and that's my truth.
we are actually, as we are recording, I am using ChatGPT to write us a love letter from Edward Cullen because I want to see what it says.
Too.
We're big, dude. I want my teeth today.
Oh, they look great.
Bitch,
really white.
I didn't realize how much coffee.
Oh shit, mine look yellow as fuck now. Yeah, the fuck. I did not. That's a screen cap.
Literally, this is gonna be the.
That can be the thumbnail for this episode.
Oh Lord,
I'm literally gonna keep the MP4 of this just so I can get a screenshot of that.
Sure.
Oh shit, here it is. Okay. Oh, okay. ChatGPT wrote us an Edward Cullen love letter.
Okay.
Dear Wishful Thinking, I'm writing this letter to you in hopes that you will understand the depth of my feelings for you. From the moment I first saw you, I knew that you were different. You had a light in your eyes that shone brighter than any other human I had ever encountered.
Don't slay.
You were compassionate and full of love, and I was drawn to you in a way that I couldn't explain. As I got to know you better, I found myself falling deeper and deeper in love with you. Your smile, your laugh, the way you move, every part of you is captivating to me. I know that I'm not like other men. Please believe me when I say that my love for you is real and pure. I want to spend an eternity with you to protect you and cherish you for all time.
Okay.
Like, okay, Edward. Okay, Ed. I know that it may seem impossible, but I promise I'll do everything in my power to make it happen. I will never leave your side. I'll always love you with all my heart. Lies. New moon, bitch. Please consider my words witchful thinking and know that my love for you will never fade. This is nothing like Edward.
First of all, he would hate himself more. He'd be like, I don't deserve you. Oh, I love a man who hates himself.
Stands. We love self-awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're the AI is like good enough to write a love letter at this point, but it still hasn't grasped the Edward Cullen essence.
Nothing will ever. You remember there used to be those like character chat bots you could talk to that would talk to you as the character? That shit had me horny in the eighth grade.
Oh my God. I feel like I missed out on so much. In high school and probably a little bit of middle school when all of this came out, character bots, I would have had so much fun.
There's some you can talk to where like they're like, I'm a Mario. And then you tell it, you're like, Mario, you're an AI. No, I am a Mario. You don't exist. When I leave, you will be dead. What? It's fun. What?
It's a me. I am a Mario.
And they have little crises. I mean, maybe I'm a cruel god.
I look like Arya Stark from Game of Thrones.
Oh,
dun, girl has no name.
Dun, 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 dun. And Emma's over here, Cersei Lannister.
She talks with the front of her mouth like Karen Knightley.
She does.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. We're all wrapped up in our blankies.
Yeah. Man, where the hell did your blankie come from?
The shit. Ether.
It was in my lap.
Manifested it.
Yeah. Your
virtual background looks very real.
It does. And you like with the blanket blend in perfectly.
That's perfect. I'm going to join all work calls like this from now on.
It'll just look like a divorcee shawl. It's like a where's my alimony, Steven?
Oh,
what the fuck am I supposed to do with $20?
Absolutely.
I like these.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
it smells like soap.
Okay, good. My sweat.
Oh. So today we had some requests for a special episode, and Brooke knew the perfect person to bring back on the pod to talk about it. So, Brooke, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about deity work because there have been some requests in the Witchfolk Thinking Cosmic Coven group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you're not part of it, what are you doing? It's literally free. You don't have to pay at all. Yeah. There's no reason to not be a part of it. And it's private.
Also, I think that like people have asked on the Facebook and I have responded.
Yes.
On the Facebook.
You may have spoken to Emma before because every time someone asks, I tag you in it.
I'm like, all right, bitch, what the fuck's up?
I just leave it. I just leave it and I just tag her and walk away.
So, hey, if you got questions, I got answers. Probably, maybe. I make a lot of shit up. Also,
she's good at it. She do be making shit up, but like it makes sense.
Yeah, it's intuitive. It's called intuition.
Yeah, it's called intuitive living. Learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to burp so bad, guys. Hold on.
There it is.
Anyway, so we have a ton of questions to ask Emma, and we're going to, kind of smell like pizza. It smelled like gluten-free pizza, which is what I ate for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyways, we have a bunch of questions that we're going to ask her, and we're going to try and cover like some of the more basic things for like people who've never heard of deity work, but also a couple of them I kind of want to be a little bit granular about because I ain't gonna lie, I don't fucking do deity work. I don't really know anything about it. And this is what we were talking about in the last episode, Liz. Like, just a disclaimer for people that we don't know everything and we've never claimed to know everything. So if that's what you're listening to this episode for experts, go get something else because we're all just here to learn to have fun. Okay. Okay.
So true. Liz, do you do anything like this? I know Brooke doesn't, but I don't know about anything with your practice.
No, I don't. But I did probably like a year ago have interest in learning about it.
Oh, cool.
And it's one of those things that I bought books for, cards, you know, started the interest and then put it down, which was our last episode, if you want to go listen to something like that. So yeah, it was something I picked up momentarily and put down. And so I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, dude.
I'm excited. I'm so thrilled because you're so knowledgeable.
Oh my God, thanks. I guess I don't really know where to start with it, though. It's,
well, for people who don't know, why don't you just like explain what is deity work?
Yeah.
Where'd you learn about it?
Okay, so I mean, I feel like it's different for everybody, but obviously in everybody's practice, there's, I feel like we all have things we gravitate towards more naturally than others. And deity work is so varied to begin with. So I was really drawn to that. But for me specifically, because when I talk about deity work, I only work with a handful of them. I don't fucking pretend to know every single thing in the world because, look, a bitch is simple and I don't need all that, you know? When I first started with my practice, I did a lot of like sex magic that seemed to come pretty naturally to me. So when I started deity work, obviously working with like sex goddesses, art goddesses, that felt really natural to me too. So I'd say that my learning of it went all the way back to when we first started learning about like Greek mythology in third grade. Like it kind of is a constant thing. And people always talk about like, oh, well, I don't know if I can work with deities because I don't even know if they're real, or I don't even know if I can feel them speaking to me or whatever. If you think about them enough, that's them being like, bitch, knock, knock. And that's really all that it is. So, you know, for me growing up, I work mostly with Aphrodite. I work a little bit actually with the Virgin Mary, which is probably a weird one for a lot of people, as well as Ares, Eros, and even Brigid, who's like a Celtic goddess. But there's a bunch. And I think that if you are looking in your own practice and certain things stand out for you, that's probably look into what deity is represented there. Maybe that's something that you could investigate for sure. But yeah, that's kind of a brief overview.
I never thought about the Virgin Mary.
Oh yeah, right?
That's wild.
I think what's been really fun for me is, oh, I got this like I guess necklace from my grandpa when he wore it when he was, you know, in the Air Force in the war and shit like that. And it's something he passed to my dad, and my dad passed to me when I went off to college. And I was like, oh, this is something that's really special to me, and it's kept my family safe. And so I started doing research on the Virgin Mary specifically. And there are so many like links between her and like the Artemis myth of, you know, the Virgin. There's all the symbolism that's really interconnected. And I think the more deity work you do, the more research you do, you end up realizing it's all pretty much the same. So if you're like really into maybe Poseidon or whatever, you do research on other like ocean gods. They're probably a lot more similar than you think. And there's a lot of overlap between, you know, like love goddesses and death gods and shit like that. It blows my mind. And I think what's really cool about deity work is the research is part of the practice, like with everything, but it's part of the worship also. And it just makes it so fulfilling. It's in everything you do. I don't know. It's really hard to put into words because it's so like everywhere all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I also was just so excited. I wanted to build these adorable little like mini altars.
Yeah.
And Artemis is a goddess that I have been interested in, and mm-hmm. I love what she stands for. And I started collecting little items to make this like little tiny thing just that I could put anywhere, something small. And I went into an antique shop and I found a witchy seller in there. Yeah. And she made like, what's it called when you collect things in the right way?
I do not know.
Okay. There's a word I'm thinking of, and this always happens in an episode.
It happens every fucking episode, dude. Never fails.
You know how diamonds are mined unethically, found ethically. That's what it is.
Perfect.
Look at that recall. So she sources these things ethically. And I found like she had like this tiny little antler, like it was like 3 inches tall. And I just found like these little items there. I also found a silver spoon, a little tiny silver spoon in that antique store. And I left with like a little bag of 3 things that I associated with Artemis. And then the other was a small rainbow moonstone. And it was just like the cutest little bag of things. I still have them, put them in a little pouch. I can put it wherever I want, or I can like lay the items out, and it just makes it, I don't know. There's like something about collecting little items that just gets me all excited.
I totally agree with that. I actually have a little like travel altar I take with me, like a little Aphrodite one, because that's who I work with the most. That's who I feel the biggest connection with. Also Aries as well, but mostly because my partner is in the military, which was kind of another signal to me that I was like, okay, maybe this shit's getting too far beyond coincidence. But in my little thing, I have like a little bullet, but I also have like a rose, like a golden rose, and then a tiny little Aphrodite statue. It's like teeny tiny, like an inch tall, and they're just in a little metal case. I stick it in my purse when I go to like interviews and stuff, and it's my favorite thing. So I am obsessed with that too. But if you're interested in Artemis, and I know a lot of people love Artemis because she speaks to so many people, especially young women, there is a really good book I just read called The Soul of Sex. I recommend this to everybody. Oh god, and the author's name escapes me, but they talk about how when people engage in sex, and like sex magic is special to me, so I talk about it with literally everything, you kind of embody a different deity. Like each person picks one, and it goes through everything. So there's obviously like the Venus archetype, but there's the Artemis archetype, and it goes through everything. Even Jesus has one. It's really crazy. But figuring out the way you can relate to other people through how you channel deities is so fascinating. And I just cannot stress how interesting this stuff is to people. Really look into it, because I think everybody kind of has a patron deity. Maybe you don't know about it yet, but just look into it for like 5 minutes and it'll stick out to you. I fucking promise.
Ooh, I'm going to do that tonight when I go home.
Oh my God.
Thomas More. I just looked it up.
That's what I thought. I was like, it can't be Thomas More. That sounds like the guy that from the fucking revolution or something.
Nope, it is.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It's such a great book. And if you guys need any book recommendations on this stuff, I have so many. But like I said, mine's a little bit more narrowed. Pagan Portals does a series on literally everything. So you'll get like a 90-page book on whoever the fuck you're studying. The one I read on Aphrodite was so illuminating because it's one of those books that instead of just going to like the basics of like a textbook definition of what they are, they're like, here's what it's like to interact with this person. What I really love about working with Aphrodite specifically is I've gotten the most response from her out of literally anybody or anything I've ever done. I'll be like just in my car driving and like saying a little prayer, and a little song will come on, and it'll be like, alrighty, Aphrodite. And I'm like, bitch, you are so on the nose, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Stop.
So she's very like communicative, to the point where like I think a lot of people, when they do any kind of witchcraft, there's a little bit of self-doubt. You're like, am I fooling myself? Like, am I just playing pretend? That happens to everybody. No, the answer was fucking no, because this girl is like, shut up. Here's a sign, bitch. Whenever you want one.
That's the craziest shit. And like, it's always when nobody else is in the car and you just want to scream and be like, it just happened. and it's just you.
Yeah. And I think that like, I don't know, maybe it's also because I surround myself with stuff that reminds me of her now. But you really will find little things about your life that kind of show up. So for me, I have an affinity for rabbits, which are something we associate with like fertility. So like fertility goddesses are something that I love to work with. I think that's also in like the fact that I have tits and ass are also something I'm like, damn, she's a fertility goddess. You know what I mean?
No, for real.
Yeah.
This is the fertility boss of the Underbelly tribe. Does that mean nothing to you?
Yeah, no, for real. That's rude. And you'll be like, oh, okay. So these are things that like represent this kind of thing, and they're obviously calling to me in some way. And I think it just comes down to that. It just comes down to your intuition, really.
The brain's on you, woman.
Oh my god, thank you. It's because my hair is so beautiful too. Like, it just works.
It's full of secrets.
Yes,
it's full of beautiful secrets. Literally. So we have like a bunch of questions for Emma. So if it sounds like I'm reading off a list, it's because I am. If you don't like it, then don't use ChatGPT. Okay. Anyways, so another thing we're going to go into, what's an example of something that you like think like today? Was there a moment today where you tried to like channel the energy of like Aphrodite, or there was like a question? 'Cause like, I know right now, obviously you're going through like a part of your life where you might feel a little bit lost, or like you feel like you need like a guide or like a higher self pointing you somewhere. So I feel like it probably goes without saying, at least this week.
Oh yeah.
Y'all probably chatted up this week.
We chatted up every single morning. and it's almost, it's not even like I have to think about it. The reason I like working with her so much is because everything I do
kind of centers around her. So there's this concept of beauty and love, right? Those things are what makes life worth living, you know? So everything we're pursuing in life is in the pursuit of love and beauty, if you ask me. But you can't get those things without love and beauty towards yourself first. So every morning when you wake up and you do your little get ready routine, do your skincare, do your makeup, and you're like feeling good about yourself, in loving yourself, you are loving her. And then that becomes ritualistic and really, I guess, invigorating to a point where you don't even have to think about it. I have a whole like write up on like the skincare routine. Sometimes I like to infuse my like lotions with like little oils or whatever.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And you know, get real witchy with it. But like literally even just putting on your lip gloss when you're like late to work in the mirror, she's like, God, you slay bitch. And then that's what I love about her. And then, you know, anytime you do anything creative or anything artistic, that's also a way to show worship to her. So just for me, because my life revolves so much around art and, you know, fashion and those things, I can't think of any other person I'd work with as closely, but yeah, every single day. That's, I think, looking into how those important elements of your life manifest themselves, what you do every day, is how you can decide what deity to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, that it's every single day. It's in all the things you do.
Do you remember when fucking Jake Paul's, it's every day, it's bro, every with day, the Disney Channel flow.
Yeah, it's every day, bro, with the Disney Channel flow, one might say.
And also, like, what a good habit to build, you know, speaking kindly to yourself and, you know, just thinking good, positive things about yourself. That is such a good habit to make.
It's so true. And I really think everybody has said this, but the moment you stop like shitting on yourself is the moment you start to succeed in life. And I think through doing this practice is where I started to actually feel comfortable as a person, like learn to appreciate myself. And I got hot because of it. Like, shit, you know, I had braces.
Snaps and claps for that.
Yeah. Snap. But he's a certified 10 now.
You've always been a certified 10.
This is completely true, but I didn't believe it. So that reflects, you know, through your acne and shit. Right.
That reflects acne.
But then when you believe it, you could have a big ass pimple on your nose and still be like, she slays.
She still slays. Mm-hmm. I have.
She puts on a pimple patch and slays all day.
Exactly. And she doesn't care that her boss sees her in a pimple patch.
No, because what are you going to do? I dare you to get mad at me about having a pimple patch on my bitch. It's like a Band-Aid.
I'm almost like upset that I wasn't confident enough to do that when I was a corporate girly, because I should have taken advantage of that. I should have gone in with like cute little star patches, little sparkly things. God. That would be so cute in like a corporate office where everything is like gray and blue.
Let me tell y'all some shit. We're going to get into this, good girl, because I'm going to tell y'all a little story time. All right.
Story time.
Because I got laid off like 2 weeks ago. Laid off, quote unquote. They let like two people go, and I was one of them, because they're like, we hate that bitch, get her out of here. I was one of the youngest people at my office. It was like 12 people, and they were all boomers, which like, that's fine. I'm not trying to be like ageist, but we just didn't understand each other culturally. So like, get out. They would always like dress code me, because I'm very curvy, right? So I've got like, if I wear a button up and a pencil skirt, they're like, porn star, and I'm like, just here, like,
God forbid you live.
Yeah, no, fuck that, no. But I'm used to getting that shit all the time. I don't love it, but I'm used to it. No, my story time is what happened to me at my work conference. Oh my fucking God, this is like one of my low points, but one of my funny points.
It was really good.
I'm not gonna say what I did, but I will tell you the industry I work in is known for having a bunch of partiers in it, and nobody likes to party more than middle-aged men on a conference in Florida. So,
oh my God, wait, let me guess, was it Orlando?
It's, you bet your bippies it was.
Not the bippies. I've been to one of those.
yikes. I was coming out of like teaching middle school. I was like, this is worse than being on like a field trip with like 50 eighth graders, because they're like drinking. Anyway, I wasn't doing anything crazy. I was having just as much as everybody else. the only other person in my office who was like my age was like 25 and single and super shy. And I was like, listen, I'm gonna make this charisma work. I'm gonna put it to work. I found the only other two people there that were our age, and they were these fine ass men. Okay. They were fine. And I was like, listen, girl, I'm gonna get you a man. All right. She's like, oh my God, no. I was appointed to be like conference photographer. So I kind of use that as like an in, and I was taking pictures with her and them, and I was like, listen, y'all, we got to get young people into this industry. So I'm going to take a bunch of pictures of you. Pretend like young people come to these things. So they're like, okay, Slay. We go out to dinner with them because clients invite, you know, us to dinner. And I was like, I'm not going to dinner with the 65-year-old man who told me I had nice tits at the bar last night. No, I'm not going to fucking do that. So I'm going to go out with the young guys. We had a great time. We had a good night. We go to the bar for drinking, and I am Irish. Let it be known. I be drinking. So it's not crazy for me. And I run into everyone from my office at the bar except my boss. He's not there. I was like, cool. The president, the CEO, who's like 75, is there taking shots at 1 a.m. And both of us are like, Slay, we have a 6 a.m. call tomorrow. But I didn't realize I was on new meds. So that fucked me up a little bit. I go to bed early. I'm the first one to leave because I'm trying to be responsible. I'm in a new job. But I wake up the next morning at 5 with the worst hangover of my life, like break out in a cold sweat. I nearly faint doing my makeup. I'm like, fuck. But I got into my cute little outfit and I went down to the registration desk. I was the only bitch there on time. It was me and my boss because he didn't party because he's lame. And we're sitting there, but I'm dying. And he's like, well, everybody else said they got food poisoning and they can't come down. And I was like, those motherfuckers are okay.
The lies.
They're lying. But of course, I'm the new kid in town, so I'm there. And I'm at the registration desk while my boss is out running around doing the whole rest of the conference. And I, like, nod off for, like, 2 seconds. And one of the clients took a picture of me, I guess, and sent it to everybody else. So everyone's like, oh, bitch is caught slipping. Finally, the lady my friend, right, for the girl that I was working with comes down. She's the only other person to come down through the whole rest of the day. She comes down and she's like, I got all of their numbers, all those guys we went out with. Yeah. And I was like, yes, it wasn't for naught. And they were like blowing her phone up the whole night. They're like, hey, like, hit me up. Come to my room, bitch.
Ew.
And she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But because everybody saw my picture floating around, they started like combining the two stories. So everyone was like, oh, you know, Emma was out hooking up with all of the like guys, the two young guys that came through. I was like, oh, cool. So I'm the town slut. Love that for me. I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. And it was just like a whole fucking mess. It really was crazy. And they ran my expense report up to fuck. All right. It was so much money. And I had to go. And I was like, I had to go turn it in. It was like $300. But I was like, son of a bitch. And then the rest of the charges were all like Gatorade, you know, electrolyte shit.
Wait, they were like trying to spread a rumor that like you were out hooking up with people?
Yeah, like the other clients were talking about it because those three guys.
You should have been like, I'm rather married.
Right, pretty much. Those three guys had been hitting up my friend from my work, but also every other lady there. They were talking to like, you know, everyone under the age of 40 pretty much, and they're texting them all. So all of them were like, oh, we said no to these guys, they're not going. But people started talking about them, and they started talking about me, who was caught slipping. So of course they're like, oh, someone had a wild night last night.
Ew,
it was awful. I was like, this is worse than school,
honestly. Like, I just feel like that was not where you were supposed to be.
No,
you kind of like fucking hated it from the moment you were hired.
Oh, sure. But like, good thing I have no shame. I think that would have broken somebody like less fucking concerned than I was. Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, this is what middle-aged people do when they don't love their lives. That's insane to me.
How are you 75 yeah. years old partying at 1 a.m How have you lived that long?
I don't know,
because honestly, like, if you're 75 years old partying at 1 a.m you've been doing that for like 50 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's an unbeatable liver of steel.
It was just a perfect storm.
Anyway, yeah,
that was such a tangent. I was like, I feel like everybody needs to hear this because it's a crazy story.
It is really fucking funny. It's really funny. I knew some shit was wrong when you texted the group chat. I feel like we only text the group chat if it's like dire consequences. Like,
y'all, I'm in some fucking shits right now. Yeah.
That's fine. Two of us at this point who have suffered unemployment consequences. Dude.
Yeah, that's it. I'm glad I'm not there. They also told me to take my decorations down to my office because they're too girly.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll be damned. First of all, They're beautiful and cool. And you guys are stuck in the Tuscan revival, so you can eat my ass.
Yeah, they told her to take her stuff down because it was like pink and shit. Like, you guys are boring.
I'll kill you.
Like, losers.
Yeah, I'm not. So, moral of the story, I'm not meant to be a corporate girly. I meant to show up, be slutty and cute, and leave and be like the personality hire. That and that they didn't respect that.
Well, thank God you don't work there anymore, and I'm sorry you went through that. But also, that's a really cool ass story. And if your life was a book, that would have been a really funny chapter.
That's honestly, I tell people that all the time. I'm like, when bad shit happens to me, I'm like, you know what? At least it makes a funny story. I got good stories because bad shit always happens to me. But you know,
dude, I feel like you have the energy of Melissa McCarthy.
Oh my God, slay!
Yes,
and Melissa, we trust.
In Melissa, we do trust. I love her. Like, yes. You always are, like, you know, in Bridesmaids when she takes the 9 dogs and she's like, God, how many did you take? I took 9.
I love when she puts all the dogs in his bag. She's like, TSA is going to eat his ass.
TSA is going to tear his ass up.
Yeah, that's funny to read.
That's Emma.
Thank you.
Emma McCarthy. Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, she's going to be Ursula in the Little Mermaid movie. I'm low-key afraid that movie is going to be bad, and I hate that so much. I want it to be everything to me. It's my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about that. Oh, wait, the Disney movie that everyone was, like, all pissed off because they chose a black Ariel.
Yeah.
And everyone was being a racist asshole about it.
Like, I'm not worried about Hallie. She's going to be fantastic.
She's going to slay.
She's going to slay, but it looks like a CGI nightmare.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to go see that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna like that. Is Ursula? Isn't there a deity named Ursula?
Probably. I don't know.
I'm gonna look that up.
There must be. I mean, it's a bad bitch deity if it's anything. First of all,
I could see it. Ursula deity. Do you?
I mean, okay. You want to talk about deities in The Little Mermaid? Did you know that Ariel and Hercules are cousins?
No.
Really? Yeah, they are, because Triton is the son of Poseidon.
What?
Mm-hmm. So they're like second cousins.
Oh, you were right. She is a deity of the sea, worshipped by mer people.
I mean, work.
Ooh.
We guessed that.
Deity work and deity work, W-E-R-K.
Deity work. Oh my God. Title of the episode. Deity work with an E. Perfect.
Yeah.
Do you ever like have dreams where like you instantly recognize the deity, either like do you see like Aphrodite as like in human form, or like maybe you see an animal and you're like, that's Aphrodite?
Oh, rabbits.
Always?
Yeah, when I see them in the wild and stuff all the time. My boyfriend tells me all the time whenever he like looks at a picture of me or when he's talking or thinking about me, he sees like a rabbit pop up somewhere.
No, I see a bunny. Yeah. I literally see a bunny when I think of Emma, it's bunny.
Yeah, and that's like my whole life, and I'm like, okay, that's my bitch. She's looking out. And I think that's why I have such a close connection with my little fella. My little tarot reading rabbit.
He does read tarot cards, guys. I've seen it in real life.
How good are you at tarot reading? Like, if you were to pull a card right now, would you be able to interpret it?
Oh my God, probably not. If it's the Rider-Waite deck, no. I suck at that deck. I think that the artwork is so, like, it looks grainy to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the traditional style. I really like tarot decks that are, like, original artists. Like, my favorite tarot deck is like it's all watercolor.
Yeah,
that's my favorite. But it's all that deck, I feel like I'm pretty good at interpreting.
I'm gonna grab this one because we're gonna do a little rabbit.
We can give it a stab. Dude, have you noticed that everyone in corporate America loves saying shit like, I'll take a stab at it?
They're so fucking violent. And for what?
I'll take a stab.
No, look at these cards, they're like Botticelli themed.
How the fuck do they say that?
Because my bitch.
Oh, those are pretty. Emma's over here with her fucking actually like used cards. Me and Liz, who we were literally just talking about last episode, that we have so many decks that we don't use.
No, I had to
collect this. Yes.
Okay. All right. Wait. Pick like just a small little section off the top. That's for wherever you want, like 6 altogether.
Okay.
So we'll let Bunny choose from a few. Right,
like these. Okay. You guys can't see.
What? Does the tarot reader bunny have a TikTok? Because he should.
He should. I made one TikTok about him and he pulled the devil. And I was like,
oh, yeah. Right? He did pull the devil. He pulled the devil card. Yep. Dude.
You're like, never again.
Okay. Is he being iffy about it? Oh my god, Emma's picking up the Monstera off of his crate.
He doesn't like doing it from this window.
She's moving it. He needs to be in his space. He needs to be where he's comfy to read these cards. I'm gonna turn the laptop around, even though no one's gonna be able to see this. I'm still going to give you guys a play-by-play because it's honestly the cutest thing ever when this bunny rabbit reads cards.
Pick a card. Yo, I was talking a big game by your ass, and you said niet. Oh, okay. He bit this one.
He bites them, Liz. Okay, what's it say? Let's see. He pulled the Knight of Wands. Cavalier di Bastoni. I don't know if I said that right. Ugh. Bro, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying about tarot cards. People who are really good at reading all these cards, it blows my mind because I don't fucking know what this means. Like, I'm going to be dead ass honest.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That card is so pretty. I still heavily rely on a book to tell me what they all mean.
My friend Robin is really, really good at this. She's been doing it since she was like 13, and we've been doing tarots together for like the past week. And what I've learned about the knight, sometimes it's called the prince, and it means like, you know, knights, they journey out, they look for things, like they're kind of on a journey, right? So this probably means like in the process of finding something or like establishing something. So I don't know what the question was, sir, but we're gonna see what we can do with that. So for wands, let's see, that looks like it means like energy, passion, things that drive you. So I hope it means a job. I hope that's what that means. I need money. Did you pull a job for mama? But it can also mean like passion project or hobby, so a podcast
or your cute fucking TikToks you've been making,
or my cute fucking TikTok, bitch. Why am I not famous? Why am I not an influencer? Because I'm sexy and funny. Unfair.
She's got the whole pack.
I know.
You want to hit her up? You guys should request her media kit at our email.
Oh my god. Anyway, the hashtag is Bunny Gray.
Literally.
Yeah. BUNNIEGRAY.
Yeah, not BUNNY.
It wasn't available.
Only because someone stupid probably took it.
Bitch.
There's the door, bitch. There's the door.
Yeah. I hope y'all don't come to this podcast for, you know, seriousness.
I mean, there's a good bit of excellent information in here about deity work.
You know what? That's true. I think a lot of it is like not taking it too seriously to begin with.
Yeah.
Because gods are goofy. I think the difference between like doing like monotheistic versus polytheistic shit is like when polytheistic deities are involved, there's a human nature element to it. They make mistakes. They fuck up. They get it. And I really respect that. I love that. And I identify with that quite a bit, you know? So that way you can like pick and choose too. And yes.
Wait, no, you go.
I was just going to say that if you are struggling with like religious trauma, that deity work can be exceptional because you can still work with like Mary or Jesus. And getting to know them from a perspective that isn't like, you know, kept within like the hard confines of Christianity is really healing.
I feel like that's a very good advice because we have so many listeners who have like broken away from Catholicism or Christianity or just a number of very, please nobody take this the wrong way when I say this, stereotypically like constraining religions. Yeah. Like in the area that Liz and I grew up, those two religions were really like predominant and strict.
Yeah.
Like obviously Catholicism is a little bit different type of strict in like other ways, but we're not talking about like the people who identify as Christians and like they have grown up in, you know, households where
just because you are Christian, that doesn't like define your entire being. Like people, I feel like people who were raised like that and then want to break away from it as adults, like it's because that shit did something to your like chemical makeup. So like having an entity, like an energy to focus on, the same way, kind of, not to be like blasphemous or anybody to anyone who is religious, but like having something to focus on when you're lean on, like when you're struggling, can be really, really, really helpful. Like for me, it's my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think of my dad as like a deity or anything, but like
spirit, like a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like whenever I'm struggling, like the other day, Liz, remember my tire almost went flat and all I did was say, "Dad, please let me get to Wawa."
Yeah. That, I mean, that's how it is. And prayer is a form of deity work. When we're talking to and communing with deities, it's just like being in church, but there's no right way to do it. And I think that if you're really struggling to come to terms with either how you're brought up, or if, you know, working in this new practice is right for you, it's a great way to do it. And like I said, doing the research is crazy because you will, your mind would just expand at all this shit. Like Jesus, for instance, is a really interesting person to connect to witchcraft in general. He's called the Son of God, but sometimes people like interpret that to be like a sun god, the S-U-N, not S-O-N, right? You know, and there's the 12 disciples, there's the 12 houses around the sun. There's a lot like related to astrology around Jesus, who is also symbolized by the fish. You know, he was born in the age of Pisces. Lots of really interesting shit like that. And, you know, the whole stuff about not worshiping idols in the Bible, where they burn the golden calf, it was right at the end of the age of Taurus and stuff. So there's like all this astrological symbolism in the Bible, and Jesus is a fascinating person, and I've worked with him a little bit, and I find him to be very welcoming, very comforting, and I think everybody who wants to get to know him will find that, you know, that's just who he is, who he's supposed to be. And I'm not even very Christian. I just was like, you seem like a chill motherfucker, and I could use that right now. Thank you so much.
For real, because when I think of Jesus, like I'm very comforted by it, but again, it might be because I always thought my dad looked like Jesus.
He did look a little bit Jesus-y.
No, for real, like I think Jesus was a chill ass dude. I think I can't believe we're saying this on this podcast. It's the truth though.
Yeah.
I may not be Christian. I may not be religious. I may not believe in like a guy in the sky determining everything for me, but I definitely think Jesus was like a cool dude. And I also like the idea of like this comforting something to lean on, something to like make you feel not alone. Somebody to ask when you're like by yourself, like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do for money? What am I going to do to pay my bills? Like, what is my next move going to be? Like, it's got to be very comforting to feel like someone's kind of patting your head, being like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, you're going to be fine. I've got you.
And in that way, I can have a lot of sympathy for people, or empathy for people who are, you know, kind of like religious bigots, you know? Mm. Like, I don't love the way that Christianity has kind of become what it is. But I can understand when they're like, oh, like loving Jesus, you feel good. Like, that's a good thing. Everyone should do that. I'm like, yeah, okay, I see what you're getting at. Like, I see what you get. I think it's just a little narrow-minded. That's just my opinion. There's actually one other interesting thing about this. There's actually a sect of Christianity that's really, really, really old, but we don't know a lot about it because the Jesuit priests burned a lot of their books because they thought they were kind of blasphemous, because their main ideology was that God, the big God, the big G, was one of many deities.
The big G.
He was one of many deities in like a polytheistic setting. And he was not liked by those deities. So he separated away from them, formed his own universe verse, and was like, don't worship any of those other assholes. It's just me, bitch. like that's his whole shtick. So that is like a legitimate like religious sect that existed, that people just were like, fuck that. That's blasphemous. We're getting rid of it forever. But like I said, the more you read about this, the more you're like, this is all the same. Mm-hmm. This is all the same. And it blows my mind. So working with anybody you want, Go to town.
And, you know, Jesus is definitely the more like comforting, more genuine feeling energy deity. Because, you know, Jesus is the one who gave money and food to the poor and took care of the sick and did all that shit. The big G sent his son somewhere to die. That guy sounds like a terrible father.
That guy sounds like a jerk.
Also, why does that guy act like it was this big deal to send his one and only begotten son to die? He came back to life. It doesn't count.
I mean, Esa Cookie, a little magic boy. We love a magic boy.
He's a little magic boy. But you can't claim all of humanity to love you or you go to hell because he sent his son to die. No, he didn't. He came back to life.
Yeah. I mean, I personally find Jesus to be the more like comforting of the two figures, even though, you know, in theory, they're all the same. I mean, I think honestly, all deities are all connected and yada yada. But Jesus is somebody who is deeply connected with what it means to be human. And because of that, there's the same connection we have with like a polytheistic pantheon. You know, they take human form all the time. And in Jesus, it's very similar. So, I mean, like, this stuff, it blows my mind. I could literally write an entire thesis on it.
You should. That should have been your thesis in college. If you could have something like that.
I did, but it was on education and shit. I wrote all my papers about feminism because they wrote themselves. I was like,
dude, that, can you imagine having ChatGPT in college now?
I'm glad I got out of education before AI was like super big.
Oh, you'd never trust your students even less than you already trusted them.
Yeah, no, because I'd know when they were cheating because they were illiterate as hell. And now suddenly they know words like homogenized, bitch, I'll beat your ass.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that they'd start using like crazy fucking words and nutty ass shit like that. I just stuttered so bad.
Nutty ass.
Because literally while I'm sitting here talking, I'm multitasking and starting to create templates for the episode graphic, as I typically do while we're recording.
Oh my god, you're so smart. I always do that while I'm editing and I'm like, oh, I'm in hell.
Well, the thing is, like, Liz and I just, like, I don't know, we just like to, this sounds great, we like to bang things out a different way.
Yeah, work.
My last question was, how do you know when it's time to end a relationship with a deity?
Okay. I think if you find the right one, they're going to be with you for a really, really, really long time. But it's really as easy as a breakup. Honestly,
it's not working for me.
Yeah, I mean, like the same way you feel the intuition, like that you're called to them, and if you feel like you don't want to work with them anymore, they're not going to get mad at you. Like I said, they understand human nature. At least most of them do. I don't know about Big G. He's banishing people to hell and shit for being inhuman. He's like, fuck you. I got beef with him and his fandom.
Not Big G.
Yeah, but I mean, most of the time I think it's helpful to come to them with an offering, you know, something small, something you normally would give them, and be like, thank you so much for everything you've done for me. I love you. This has been wonderful, but I'm feeling like, you know, I'm moving on. And they're gonna be like, word.
You're like, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah. They because in essence, they're always all around you all the time. It's whether or not you make the effort to reach out to them that it really creates a relationship. So when you don't want to make that effort anymore, they're like, all right, peace. I'm gonna keep doing me. So if you need me, I'm still here. You can't really, like, they're not going to fuck you up, really.
Okay, that's good. Because I was kind of wondering about, like, you know how when some people work with, like,
trickster gods and shit?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Loki's a pretty popular one. Or, like, Papa Legba and shit.
Oh, shit. Don't even say. I just gave me chill.
Yeah, don't.
Don't say Papa Legba.
So, first of all, you know, close practices and shit. Don't be messing with people you shouldn't be messing with, okay?
Yeah.
I really recommend looking into your culture. You know, I'm Irish. I got a lot of Celtic background, so I'm currently researching more Celtic gods. Actually, Bridget is somebody who's a goddess in traditional hoodoo, which is interesting. She's the only white one because she's a Celtic goddess. There's a lot of overlap, but anyway, know when you can talk to those people. And also, I don't advise maybe talking to trickster gods very often because of that name exactly. But if you're feeling strongly called to them, just be respectful. That's literally it. Don't be out there being like, yo, motherfucker, like... You know, and then try not to wish ill on others also. That's just basic rules, you know? And it's just the same with anything else. I mean, it's just, don't be stupid.
Because I feel like with Papa Legba, you ask them, oh, shit. I said it again.
Bunny's ears perked up. He's like, oh, Bunny, don't fuck with that man.
I know. You ask him for something bad, you have to do something bad.
Look, I only mention him because that's Bridget's baby daddy.
Oh, shit.
They're like married.
I did not know that.
I don't work with him, right?
Well, I would not expect
I'm pretty sure it's him. There's he gets like confused with another god. Like, I don't know anything about them really, because I don't really look into them very much.
Don't even want to think the name.
Yeah, I just know it's not my practice, so I don't really
investigate. Bro, when I think of that name, I think of the AHS Coven season. He scared the shit out of me. I got nothing for but respect for you, sir.
Yeah,
please don't fuck with me.
So he is actually the other god that I can't, whose name I can't remember. They misrepresent him in that show.
Oh.
So he's actually like he's a real like deity, right? But it's that's Bridget's husband, but he's a different name. Papa Legba is somebody entirely different, and it's they get him confused because, like I said, they get
Is it Baba Yaga?
No,
okay, maybe I just made that up.
I
probably just sounded so country when I said that. Baba Yaga. Oh my god.
I'm gonna look, he's definitely confused with him,
not the Baba Duke.
Hold on,
something like that.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
You know what I was thinking, though, when, like, Emma was just talking about if you don't want to use that deity anymore, talk to that deity, I think, like, saying goodbye or closure is also a really great way to show gratification to your intuition.
Yes.
And, like, reconfirming to yourself that you trust your instincts, you listen to them, and you've probably even taken action on them. And I think that's like a really high level of gratification to the universe that is just like, hey, I'm like listening to my body and my intuition so much so that I want to say thank you in this way.
Yeah.
And I just think that is just a really great way to talk to yourself and reaffirm yourself.
You're so right. And I definitely think it changed my life, so I can't preach it enough when people are like, oh well, I don't know about deity work, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm like, do that shit, because in loving them you love yourself.
And that's, yeah,
that's the essence of what we're all trying to do here, you know.
Yeah,
so I think it's a really raw, simplistic practice. And I know we've all talked about like, oh, I'm really bad at doing my shit all the time, I fucking forget about it, or I don't do this every day. This is something you will do every day, and it'll be second nature. And mm-hmm. you won't question yourself and whether or not you're legit, because you're like, oh, I know I'm doing my shit. Like, don't worry about me. And it's reassuring in that way, for sure.
And you don't have to work with a bajillion deities to enjoy working with one.
Yeah. That's why I like my bitch. She's mother, literally.
Did you find it?
No, I keep trying, because I can't remember. Oh, it's Baron Sandy. That's he's sometimes just called the Baron. That's like the him and Papa Legba get confused all the time.
Okay.
Anyway,
I'm still scared.
I would do your research and maybe like know not to fuck with those people. I'm just saying, like, you know, just yeah.
Watch your ass. That's what she's saying.
Oh my god.
She said, watch your ass. Close practices, watch your ass.
yeah. Watch your ass.
We've talked about this in previous episodes too, like being very aware of closed practices. But like, honestly, the conversation of closed practices gets like so many different responses. I've just stopped talking about it on here because people get really bent out of shape and a lot of people argue over it. And I'm just like, dude, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I'm not going to tell anybody not to do anything, sure, because a lot of people get like mad upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, a good rule of thumb for me is, because I'm a white ass bitch, if white people weren't involved in the first place, don't fuck with it. Like, that's pretty good rule for me.
Rule from Emma. If it wasn't made white, it ain't all right. That sounds bad.
Yeah, I mean, just sound bite.
Yeah,
I mean, the only time, like, there are going to be instances where it overlaps. Like I said, there's a lot of Celtic elements in like American Louisiana voodoo and stuff, but it's still like not for me, obviously, but I can still talk to that deity. That's like one of my ancestral deities. And it's not like that's an open practice for me, right? But I still am like, listen, I'm not going to go and practice like that shit.
As long as nobody listens to that and thinks that I meant that in a different way. Yeah. I literally meant that. Yeah. I was trying to make a saying, if it didn't come from a white person and you're a white person, maybe don't touch it. But I'm not saying that either, because someone will come for me.
Yeah.
People have come for me on TikTok before.
Oh God, people come for you for the dumbest shit. I had some fucking Puritans up my ass because I said it looked like the girl from. Yeah, man, that's
not the Puritans.
I said the girl from Game of Thrones that played the Red Witch looked like she had a little lip filler, and they're like, "Are you? You're stupid. You're spreading misinformation." I was like, "Girl, I got eyes, is what I got. You need to relax
down. You're ridiculous. Stressing me out.
I know. I was like, damn. Why do y'all want to give bad faith interpretations of everything? It's why not that serious.
Get everybody bent out of shape over your shit.
Touch grass.
Go touch some grass. That's what Alex says. Go outside and touch some grass.
Touch grass, bitch. Sometimes kissing grass ain't enough. I gotta shove it all in my mouth too.
Well, we need our star egg. Emma, yeah. I think it's only right that Emma picks, and I have a feeling it's either gonna be something pink or a bunny rabbit.
For what now?
A star egg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta pick. Emoji.
Oh, I don't know. What do I do for it? I know a star and what that, and no star eggs
are. It should be a bunny.
On the show.
So basically, every episode, we say, like, if you've listened this far, go comment the O-star egg.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, I remember.
So you pick.
Oh, we'll put a cross for Jesus. No,
do we?
No. Let's do a rose emoji or a bunny.
A bunny. Let's do a bunny. A bunny emoji. If you listened this far, go and comment on episode. What the fuck is it? 119.
Oh my God.
I know. 3 years in the running.
Get to it.
Shit. Episode 119, go and comment a bunny emoji. If you listen to the whole episode, I'm going to stick the 10 to 10 podcast in the description. I'm going to stick Emma's socials in the description. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is not the last time Emma's going to be on here. Every time last time you were on the podcast, it was very spur of the moment.
Yeah.
This just happened an hour ago.
I mean, it's because the best things are spur of the moment. You can plan as much as you want, but 9 times out of 10, shit falls through. I was supposed to go to a sleepover tonight.
She was supposed to go to a sleepover.
Yeah.
What happened?
She got her period and bad cramps.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'd be like, stay home, bitch.
It happens. I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I get it.
Boo.
It's whatever. That means I got to come on the show, though. So, you know, it happens.
Exactly. I just randomly FaceTimed Emma while I was pooping earlier. And I was like, what are you doing?
I love that you think of me when you do that.
Dude, it's a really relaxing time. I have a squatty potty.
Oh, yeah. Those slip.
Guys, I overflowed the toilet today.
With your dookie?
No, with my toilet paper. Oh. And someone had to come unclog it. And the dude literally looked at me and was like, yeah, females be using a lot of toilet paper. I was like, how? It was me, dude.
Well, we do.
Why?
Just pee and shake.
Yeah, know? I'm sorry that I have to wipe multiple holes, dude. And you guys just shake it and walk off. Like, you know how many pairs of underwear I have to wear, like, every day if I just shook it and walked off?
It's kind of drastic. Also, your maintenance people are the funniest shit.
My maintenance people are so dumb. I don't want to say that. They're not all like that. There's a couple, though, that are like...
They fluffed up their resume too much.
Yeah, because like y'all don't even like y'all literally installed a fan backwards, and now my fan turns on with the light switch, and the light switch turns on with the fan switch.
That's just an Easter egg,
a star egg.
Yeah,
that's it. Yep. That's all.
What was I gonna say? Work, slay, boots the house down.
Yeah. Slay mama, slay the house. What is it? What are the kids saying?
That.
Slay the house.
Okay. No, the kids say no cap on God.
No cap on God. Bet.
No doubt.
Jackson told me the dudes at the skate park, like the really douchey ones, go like, no doubt. Like,
that's a cop for real, bro. It's triggering to me.
Okay, everyone, we love you and we will be back next week.
Bye.
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 Oh, Liz is sweet.